Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 verses 1 through 20. I will not reread it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text before us is kind of a trap text if you look at it. If you're reading the text as a pastor, you look through the text and all of a sudden you see, oh boy, I get to preach on how a pastor needs to be paid. Or, oh boy, I get to tell those people who have treated me poorly that I'm going to cast off the dust from my sandals and Lord will curse them for all the horrid things that they've done to me. Or, oh boy, we can cast out demons. How exciting is that? But none of those are the real high points of the text. If you look at the readings for today, all of them bring some of those thoughts in, but the important thought that is brought in is this. Listen, Isaiah says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream." St. Paul says in Galatians, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." And Jesus does what in our text? He sends out the 72 into the cities that he is about to come to with a message that's quite simple. They are to enter the house and say, "Peace be to this house." The main point of our text is that God comes to bring you peace. And still, even with this being the main point of the Christian faith, that we bring the peace of God to our neighbors as it has been brought to us, the world seems to have everything upside down. A couple of weeks ago, we had the shooting in Orlando and a horrible scene where a radicalized Muslim young man walks into a well-known homosexual nightclub and kills 50 people. How horrible. What a tragedy. And yet, for some reason, the Muslim faith continues to be portrayed as one of peace. And I don't know if you heard this or not, but Christians were getting blamed for this. Christian preachers, Christian churches, and you yourself in the pews were being blamed for this atrocity. This is really sad. This world is in total chaos, and we are sent to proclaim a message of peace, for the kingdom of God has come near to us, and yet we continue to get accused of a message of hate. But we can understand that if we look at it a little deeper, because when you think of the kingdom of God coming in final judgment, you don't often think of it as just a nice, serene little thing that everybody's happy in. Well, sure, we think of fire and we think of judgment and we think of power and might. And we think that, well, maybe, just maybe, those people that have bothered us, those people whose sins are horrible, those people will get theirs finally. But that's not the Christian understanding. You see, while we want the power and the fire and the might and the judgment, we don't want that on ourselves. Last week was supposed to help us get away from that thought as Elijah was hiding in the cave, remember? And there was wind, a strong wind, but God's voice wasn't in the wind. And then there was earthquake and there was a fire. And God's voice wasn't in that. And then there was what? A still small voice. And there Elijah knew that God was in the small voice. And he covered his face. And he heard the word of God. And then he went to proclaim God's word of both judgment and peace to a world that really doesn't want to hear it. And our gospel today, God in flesh Jesus, our Lord and Savior, sends out his disciples with a message of his peace through the kingdom coming. And the 72 are instructed to take just the word. Carry no money bag. Take no knapsack. No sandals. And greet no one on the road. That is to say, this is extremely important. You need to be hurried, not standing around chatting. And then he says, whatever house you enter first, peace be to this house. It's not flashy to our flesh. And if we were the ones that this command was given to, I think we would all be horrified. Right? If you were told now to leave everything and go, your flesh would start squealing like a pig that had been pinched. The sinful nature doesn't like it, and we scream that maybe Jesus isn't meaning that. He's lost his mind a little bit here. He really means that I can take some of these things with me that make me comfortable and safe, and not other things. But you see, that's the amazing thing with the Word. It only submits to one thing, the will of God, not to us. We are to submit to the Word. And while our reason and the masses' desires and wants will try to trump the Word of God, all they want, all they're doing is robbing themselves of what the Word of God comes to bring them, which is peace. You heard it today. The peace of God was shared with you already before I ever got into the pulpit today. Pastor Rafa got to say to you, your sins are forgiven. What more can you have that gives you peace than knowing that you have been made right with God, that you are declared forgiven of all your sins, and that you knew this because you've been washed in the waters of baptism? You knew this because you yourself have heard the Word of God and read it yourself and studied it yourself, and you have been instructed and come and received in with and under the bread and wine the very body and blood of Christ, again to assure you of the words that Pastor Rafa got to declare today. Your sins are forgiven you. But we have a problem with this. Because that message, peace be to this house, which is like your sins are forgiven you, rings hollow. It rings hollow to our ears because, well, our houses don't have peace. Is there peace in your house, in your family? Is there peace in our church? I sure pray there is. Is there peace in our Senate? We'll find out quite soon enough. The Senate convention is about to convene in Milwaukee, and if you want to see pastors behaving like two-year-olds in a sandbox with one shovel and not two, I recommend going to the Senate convention and watching. Not just pastors, though. There'll be lay people there wanting the shovel as well. It is really funny, Matthias. You are correct. And also really sad. But we all must confess that God's peace has often returned from us rather than rested upon us. As we know all too well that peace is so easily ripped away. It could be as simple as a phone call from a doctor who's giving you the report that you were dreading to hear. It could be that your employer notifies you that your services are no longer needed, and you start wondering, how am I going to make ends meet? It could be, well, just living in this world where the cost of living keeps going up, but the cost of living increases we're supposed to get keep staying lower. I thought about it just the other day. When I started college, and I won't say how long ago, but it's not that long ago, I didn't think. $900 a semester. That was room, board, housing, not books. Didn't include my books. That was another $150. Now, I believe at Marquette, it's $50,000 to go there. 1,800 for a year, $50,000 for a year. How do you ever manage that? Oh, sure, student loans. That's the answer. You can get cheap money. And come out of school, 100, 150. We're hearing pastors coming out of seminary with $50,000 and $70,000 in debt. What? It's insane. Try to live with that burden around your neck and be sent to a small town in a congregation that is paying you just below district scale for your entire time in the ministry. But never, I've known of pastors who never got a raise ever in a parish. Add to that, well, family gatherings. Have a wedding recently? I did. They always bring nothing but peace. Or, heaven forbid, be like Alan Latall, who got a call last week, and all of a sudden he was told his mother was taken to the hospital. The next day she's in hospice, and then she's passed away. That quickly. There's peace, often ripped away from us. These will all attempt to rob us of our peace, but that peace should only be our earthly peace that gets disturbed. They should never take our focus off of the eternal peace that is ours, but so often they do, and they lead people astray into all kinds of false beliefs as they seek peace everywhere else. And yet the church's message is always to be bringing peace. And yet the world will say, well, I can have peace when I'm out in the woods, or I can have peace camping with my family, or I can have peace at the football game, or I can have peace doing whatever else there is, but what's not there is the word of peace, the means of grace. God serving you in the worship service as Gottesdienst occurs. You see, Jesus is all about peace. And he has complete and total tunnel vision as he sends out the 72 because he set his face for Jerusalem, where he's going to go and earn that peace that he sent them to bring. And you know how he does it. He goes there and he bears your sins and my sins, and he dies our death on a Roman cross, bearing all the sins and all the chaos that sin brings, and dies. And on the third day he rises again, declaring us saved, declaring us to have peace between God and man. And if there's peace between God and man, there should be peace between man and man. This is why he sends out the 72 to bring his message of peace, and why he equips the church with one single gift, the means of grace, his word and his sacraments that join us to himself as he joined himself to us on the cross. And there in the means of grace, in baptism, where we're joined to his death and resurrection, at the Lord's table, where we receive Christ's body and blood, he joins himself to us. And in the Word, all there to say to you these simple words: peace be with you. Peace be to this house. Your sins are forgiven. And I know it seems so simple. And our flesh says if it's too good to be true, then it can't be true. And this is why the disciples are instructed with the horrible message. That if a town rejects them, they are to dust off their sandals, the dust on their feet, and proclaim judgment on that town. Jesus says, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Not a safe place to be. Yet the 72 are not sent to call down judgment on people. The 72 are sent from town to town to bring the message of peace, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God is bringing peace to the people. Yet those who reject the word of peace, there is only one thing left for them. Only one thing that can follow. And that is judgment and damnation. You see, God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But know this, if you reject God's word, and if you reject God's servants who bring God's word of peace, you reject the one who sent them. And in doing so, we reject God and His peace completely. Jesus, you must remember, offers His peace to all who are afflicted. But please remember this. He is also the source of affliction for those who reject His gift. We, the disciples, can't lose sight like the disciples, the 72 that are sent out. They lost focus on the message. They returned back with great joy. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That's pretty awesome stuff. But that's not the point. We know we can get guilty of that too. We want the grand and glorious instead of the word, and the word joined to elements that are very simple, bread, wine, and water. Our fickleness of heart has led pastors and parishioners alike to focus on donors and dollars and doing stuff to feel successful rather than the still small voice of God that declares to you, peace be to this house. You see, we are called to be faithful unto death, and God will give us the crown of life. And neither of your pastors have been given the gifts that the 72 were given. We've not been given the gift to heal diseases. But we have, by right of our ordination, been given something far greater. We have been given the ability to say to you, your sins are removed, and in so doing, we remove death through your holy absolution. Your sins are forgiven you. That's why I can say to this church, peace be to this house, to each and every one of your homes. You see, Jesus' words are our only source of peace and comfort. In fact, the good news that our salvation has already been earned solely by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is our good news and our gift. The Holy Spirit has created faith in you to cling to this message, and then you're not left wondering if you've done something well enough. Have you noticed in the absolution the pastor says your sins are forgiven you? He doesn't say, I hope you're forgiven. He doesn't say, you might be forgiven. He doesn't say, even you can be forgiven. No. What you heard today and every time we gather is you are forgiven. So peace be to this house. In the very name of Jesus, you are forgiven just as it was in your baptism. So it is proclaimed to you now, the very death and resurrection that you are baptized into is the very means that declares you freed and forgiven. Even on a day when we remember our nation is celebrating its freedom, we know we have been freed from far greater things than Britain. The very word of peace that is read and proclaimed points us to Jesus, who is our only source of everlasting peace. And today in the Lord's Supper, He offers you Himself once again for your peace. Have you noticed before the distribution of the Lord's Supper, the pastor turns to the congregation and says, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And the congregation's response is, amen. Which means, I ask the confirmation students in every service because they're in the anxious bench there. Matthias, amen means, don't know. Yes, it shall be So, right? As your dad has taught you, I know. Yes, yes, it shall be so. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And we respond, Amen. Just as we will with the benediction when the pastor announces peace. Depart in peace. Amen. So Jesus sends us for peace. And for your peace today, we come to God's table and receive Him, our Lord and Savior Jesus, the very body and blood that was given and shed, then declares you forgiven, offers you your peace. Let us not forget the greater for the lesser, like the 72. Instead, let us hear the words of Jesus and rejoice that even though Satan fell, that even Joel, the Word of God, cast the demons out. The most important thing is that your names are written in heaven. And by the grace of God and His gift of faith in His only begotten Son, Jesus, your names are written in heaven. So peace be to this house. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.